We often think God is a noun, but the truth is God is a verb. Love. Everything else is commentary. That's it. Oh, wait. The deal is, we've had a couple thousand years to get this wrong, to make it too hard. Jesus made it really clear. Love God by loving others. That's it. Following Jesus is not just about following rules or a specific morality. Being faithful to God is not about judging others or making sure everybody else follows rules that we think God wants them to follow. Being faithful to God is about love, period. Love God and love each other. Jesus said it often. It's the theme of 1 John, our second reading today, which we heard throughout all of Lent. Remember this? Today we get one of my favorite sections out of 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The way I know it is, beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Whoever loves knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. So let us love one another, because God is love. So why do we have to be told to love? Well, at least two reasons. First, we don't get it. We keep thinking it's got to be harder. Second, we don't believe it. The part of us doesn't always trust God because we like to trust ourselves. The bottom line is we're afraid. We're afraid that God's love is going to be as shallow and conditional as ours is. We don't trust God to love us, and in reality, a lot of us don't really want God in our lives because we assume that means we're going to be told what to do with all kinds of limits and rules, along with threats of punishment. But God does not come to us with punishment. God comes to us with love. God does not motivate us with fear. God loves us. Now, some of you know I have a couple dogs at home. Did you know that? Yeah. Labs. And as you can imagine, I've seen my share of hunting dogs with other people. Occasionally I go to field trials where dogs work. I see a number of other dogs in the field. And when I see other dogs with their owners, I can tell within a second exactly how they were trained. The dogs that walk along their humans, they kind of look out of the corner of their eye with their ears back. They're afraid all the time. Those are the dogs that are trained with punishment. And every time they do something wrong, they get yelled at or they use an electronic collar to light them up, and those dogs are afraid. Then there's the other dogs I see where, oh boy, everything's my favorite thing. I'm so excited. There's other dogs here, and I get to go after ducks, and I get to go swim in the water and come back, and the guy has food for me, and oh, later on I get to smell other dogs. Yep, yep, yep. Those are the dogs trained with reward. Now, they're not perfect, but they're happy. God does not threaten us into obedience. God does not punish us with bad things when we've been naughty or reward us with good things when we behave. And by the way, we're not dogs most of the time. We're God's children. So God loves us even more. And God has already given us all of his love. We can't get any more. We already have all of it. God doesn't force a response from us, but we get to choose whether we will respond. Now, you might know, the early Christian church in its first 250 years, and no, I wasn't there, made loving God by loving others its priority. They cared for the poor, the hungry, the throwaways of society, the sick, the dying, widows, and orphans. Other people asked about them. And they said, why do they do this? What's wrong with these people? They don't pray to their God to do things for them. These Christians say that their God tells them to sacrifice themselves for others. What is wrong with them? What has gotten into these people? Well, I bet you know. God did. Love did. And we know where they built their homes. In Jesus. In His love. See, if we do not respond in loving God by loving others, then our faith becomes just another religion. Jesus describes it today as being connected. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you are cut off, you are not connected to me. You will wither up and die. Now, on the surface, this makes all kinds of sense. But in our world of autonomy and self-direction and self-reliance, this flies right in the face of what we consider normal and good. But that's the tension, isn't it? See, on the one hand, there's a world that we spend our lives in where we are taught to look after ourselves first, where the cynical maxim is trust no one. On the other hand, there's a way of Jesus where he says we are called to love, to be generous and caring for those in need, generous with our forgiveness, generous with our mercy and our grace. So Jesus tells us the opposite of what the world says. He says, if you want to really live, if you want to thrive, you need to be connected. You can't make it on your own. Jesus says, abide in me. Now there's a word, abide. We use that a lot, don't we? Abide. About the only time we hear it is in the hymn we sang today, our gospel reading today, and if you're a fan of the movie The Big Lebowski, the dude abides. Abide simply means to live in. It's about where our roots are, where we dwell, where our home is. Jesus calls us to make our home in Him, to be connected and rooted in His love, His grace, His compassion, and His mercy. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Now, like grapevines, we travel out into the world all over the place. But when we do, we don't become like the world around us, even though we live in it. Vines that send their branches out, that grow and climb fences and dead trees, can't live on those things unless they are still connected to the main vine. And when those vines grow out into the world, they bear fruit. They produce grapes. Now, of course, Jesus is not calling us to grow grapes. Jesus calls us to love God by loving others, not just with words or a nice thought or good intentions. Jesus doesn't want us to just know about Him. He calls us to follow Him and to bear fruit. And the fruit He calls us to grow is what He calls the kingdom of God, the ways of mercy and peace, justice, aggressive love, acceptance, healing, new life, a way of life that seeks to include the lost, the forgotten, the shunned, and yes, even those who are not nice to us. See, if we limit following Jesus to things we say we believe and we don't live them out, then we are not abiding in Jesus. We're not living in Him. We will not be making our home in the King of Love, this Prince of Peace. If we limit following Jesus to things in our head, if we assume God's grace is a one-direction thing that comes to us and stops there with our nice warm feeling, then we're really not connected to the vine. We will wither, and quickly our faith will become just one more religion. We will focus on a vain attempt to save ourselves by following God, what we think are God's rules. But following Jesus is not just a religion. It is a way of life that fills us with meaning and hope and purpose. But the catch is, nothing is going to feel any different if we try to keep it in our heads or just sit back and watch. So our faith is not something we watch. It's what we live. So 1 John reminds us again today, God is love, not fear, not having the right answer. God is love, not just in kind thoughts and good intentions, but in all of our actions, feeding the hungry, caring for the sick, the weak, the afraid, the confused, the victims, and all the widows and orphans of our time. That is what it means to follow Jesus. Whoever loves God knows God. Whoever doesn't love does not know God. So let us love one another.